Welcome to the Rengineering YouTube and podcast, your weekly dose of Porsche culture. With Tech Talk, Heritage, the Ren Builds playlists, along with a massive dollop of waffle, we'll keep you entertained. So subscribe now on any podcast streaming service and YouTube. Welcome to the Rengineering YouTube and podcast, and welcome to another episode. 1 week since we dropped the Tut Hill episode on all the podcast streaming services, and wow, hasn't that gone great guns? So lots of lovely messages, lots of thank yous. Yeah, it's just been an absolute joy to have put that out. I'm pretty sure the Tut Hill guys are happy with it as well, which is lovely. You always want to do a really great job when you've kind of taken someone's time up, so... big shift in the production quality. Hope if you haven't watched it as well, do go and check it out on YouTube. It's very proud of that. So 220 watch hours, I think it was, in 2 days. So yeah, for a relatively small channel still, I think it's going to be the start of something, a bit of a change, which is great. This week, as I said last week, back to a Your Porsche Stories. It's been a little while since we've had one of those, but very, very happy to have had Bruce Floyd from Jacksonville on as well to talk a little bit about him, but a lot about his car. A 911 that's done 250,000 miles is always a good story, right? So so you'll hear a lot about Bruce in a minute. But also, he is connected to Brumos as well, or Brumos, depending on how you pronounce it. So... yeah, really interesting story. If you're interested in being on Your Porsche Stories and you've got a really cool car, or you've had some amazing experiences, or the back history of that car is really cool, you can always get in touch. You can either DM me. The Instagram handle's changed since some of the earlier episodes. So it used to be Rengineering UK. It's no longer Rengineering UK. It's the Rengineering Podcast, which makes a lot more sense, right? So you can pop over and DM me from that. Or you can email me info@rengineering.com. We can set up a date or a time. If you're in the UK and you're not too far from me, I'll happily come over. We can hang out for the afternoon. If you're not in this country and you're abroad somewhere, then it'll be a Zoom call, but they're relatively easy to do. So yeah, always happy to do one of those. Just let me know. I'm going to call it there. Keep it nice and short. It's another long one. Last week. Was well over an hour, and this is also over an hour. So grab your coffee, settle down, and here is myself and Bruce Floyd talking about his Your Porsche Story. I'll see you at the end. Did that say recording in progress to you?
It does.
Excellent. Cool. Right. I shall get started. Welcome back to the Rengineering YouTube and podcast, and welcome to another episode. I love these episodes when they're with somebody I've never heard of before, never spoken to before, and then find out through social media or through a friend or a friend of a friend of a friend that there's somebody with a really interesting story, and this one is no different. So this chap that I'm about to speak to you now, his name's Bruce Floyd. He's from Jacksonville, Florida. I was scrolling around on Facebook, and up popped a man with a very nice, I think it's probably late 70s, early 80s, G-body with a quarter of a million miles on the clock. So welcome, Bruce. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you, Paul?
I'm good. I'm somewhat, anyone that's done that many miles in a Porsche has got some stories to tell. Or the Porsche's got some, that, you know, got some stories to tell. But as I was saying to you just a few minutes ago, I like to start right back at the very beginnings, the roots of whoever it is I'm talking to. So let me take you back to your childhood. Cars born and bred in your blood from day one, or is it something that came a little later? When did it all start?
No, it was almost born and bred, I guess. So early on, I was always messing with my bicycles, you know. And when I was younger, that's when the 20-inch Stingray bicycle was introduced by Schwinn.
Okay. Oh, okay.
And it had the banana seat and the high handlebars and a bigger tire in the back. It looked like a dragster too, you know, an 11-year-old.
Yeah, and, yeah.
So I couldn't afford the Schwinn price tag, so I started assembling parts and I started building my own bike, you know. So I'm about 11, I think, at this point, and I'm getting parts and I'm getting spray paint and I'm sanding and I'm painting. and I'm just modifying this thing until it just sort of seems to glisten in the light, you know? And
This is amazing. I mean, so those of you listening to on any podcast streaming service won't see this necessarily, but there's a bike behind me on the wall, right? My
I see
story is
that.
very similar to yours. I was messing
Awesome.
around with bikes before I was messing around with cars. So
Yes.
instantly, yeah, amazing. Please do carry on, sir. You've got this
Yeah. It
assembly of parts and you're building it up. Keep
totally.
going.
And it's kind of a normal transition, I think. But then I wasn't just cool with making it look good. I started talking to some of my friends, and I figured out that I could take a 26-inch sprocket and put it on my 20-inch bike and change the gear ratio of my pedals to my back wheel. So now I had a bike that was hard to get up to speed, but once I got going, I was flying past everybody. So that was my early high-performance modification
That's so
to my
cool.
bicycle. Yeah, it's pretty funny. And so then, progressed and then I got into 10 speeds, and then you're making them lightweight and fast and things like that. And then when I turned 16, my dad said, okay, we'll take you to get your license and I'll buy you your first car. But to do that, you have to have a job, be gainfully employed, have a year's worth of car insurance in the bank because you are paying your own insurance, and then I'll get you a car. I'm thinking, what could go wrong with this? Well, he bought me the biggest piece of junk that I had to go fix, and I was under working on it more than I was out driving in it.
Right,
But
what
that
was
kind of,
it?
it was a 54 Chevy Bel Air, straight six,
Oh, okay.
three speed. I put in a shift conversion to move it to the floor. It was a Fenton shifter back then, and I just thought it was a race car,
Could you
and
drop a V8 in it? Is it something you could hop up if you wanted to or
you, I
not?
could have. There, a lot of people were putting 283s in those
Right.
back then, and so it was pretty exciting. And then what launched me into Porsche, I think, is I drove that car for about a year, and then I fell in love with Volkswagens.
Okay.
Bought my first 1962 VW Bug, put a clutch in it with my younger brother, a scissors jack, and a skateboard,
I
my
mean,
version of a hydraulic
that's
jack,
pretty
right?
much all that's all you need, right, for a bug.
Exactly. And so that launched me in now rear engine cars and German, engineering.
What was
And then
the
I bought a.
so before you get into next cars as well, go give me the what is it, what was the color, what was the interior color, paint the picture for me so I can kind of see that
Oh,
bug in my
yeah.
head.
So it was a turquoise green,
Okay.
if you think back to 1962, it was supposed to have a 40 horse in it, but they had put a 36 horse in it because the guy had blown up the motor before. Okay,
Right.
well, I didn't know that this should have shied me away from
So
it.
Fred Flintstone would have gone quicker at this point,
Oh
right?
my gosh, yeah, totally. It was kind of slow. So I put headers on it, and then I got wheel adapters, and I put Chevrolet chrome wheels on the back. And
Okay.
I
The discs, the big like discs kind of looking things
no, these were
no.
just chrome reverse wheels. This is
Okay.
back in the early late 60s.
Right.
So then so then now I'm firmly bit by the VW bug. So then you fast forward and it's 1970, and I buy a brand new 1970 VW bug for the
Okay.
ripe old price of 1995.
1995.
95, yes. That's what a new VW cost back in 1970.
Wow. So get to again, people are listening to this, they may be of a certain age that might mean to me, they may not. What
Yeah.
was somebody earning a week or a month back then?
Back then, I was working at A&P grocery store, and I was making $1.67 an hour.
Okay. All right. So it's not a huge amount of money for a car, even back then. It
Yeah.
doesn't seem like a lot of money, right? So,
Yeah, it was still an economy car when it was first
yeah.
introduced, and of course all my friends were all starting to hot rod them, and things like that. So I went to the bank, my dad co-signed, and my car payment was $54 a month.
Okay.
I could swing that. So I'm in high school, I'm working at A&P, got a steady girlfriend. I thought I was living the life.
I bet you
So
did, sir. I
it
bet
was
you
kind
were, well, you still are, but I bet you then you were a handsome chap with women flocking to your feet.
Absolutely,
Absolutely.
absolutely.
So what
So,
did you did that did you were you able to choose the spec of that car? Was it kind of something they had in and you just picked it up off the lot, or what was the
you could specify whether it had a radio or not. And
Okay.
that's it.
Is that it?
That's it.
Color? What was the color of that one?
Color was the, I think they called it, was that light blue. I think it
Yeah.
was called Bahia Blue. I think it was Bahia Blue, if I remember right.
Okay. Had Cowlick and all that sort of stuff come out by then, and you know, the styling of Beatles and the kind of modifications, because there's lots of different types, right? You can kind of
Yeah.
Baja bug stuff, or you can go beach
Yeah.
buggy, or all sorts of things with them. So.
I was going for more of a an IMSA racer. So I put flared fenders on it and I put a front
Right.
spoiler that I molded in. And I put, let's see, I put three motors, two transmissions, and more brake jobs than I could count, you know, on the car. So and it was my hot rod car, and I drove it almost, so I drove it for 30 years. Okay.
30
30
years.
years, yes. And then it
Wow.
gets better. So now this is like 2001, and I'm driving, you know, a station wagon to work and stuff like that, but still driving the bug. And then I give the car to my 16-year-old son, Stephen.
Right.
And he still has the car. He put it in his mom's garage for about 5 years, rebuilt everything. He put disc brakes all the way around. He lowered the
Wow.
car. He just did a lot of work. And there was very little rust on the car because I'd always had it and took good care of it. So now he takes his two daughters for rides in the same bug that I took him for rides in when he was a little guy. So the car lives on and it's now, what, 54 years old. So,
That's unbelievable. You have to send me some photos of that. So
yeah.
Bruce has kindly sent me a couple of photos of the Porsche, but yeah, definitely if you've got any of those as well,
I
then
do. I
true. Yeah,
do.
that'd be really good.
In fact, I got one. We were at a car show years ago and we took a picture of the bug and the Porsche next to each other. So I affectionately tell people I drove the car forever, but then I replaced it with an upgrade, you
It's true. It's
know?
true.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go back right to the start, the roots of Porsche, and that's where it starts. So.
Oh my gosh, it really did. And the whole time I was trying to turn that 1970 VW bug into a better handling poor man's Porsche was my thinking, you know, with the
Yeah.
bigger motor and the sway bars and special shocks and tires and all that stuff. So then when all my kids were grown, then I got the opportunity to buy the 1985 Porsche.
Was there anything in between those two? What was there anything else? Any kind of greatest hits that you kind of go, actually, you know what? Wasn't kind of it was a stepping stone car, or I had it for a period of time, but it was actually really cool. I really love that. So.
Yeah. No, there really wasn't. So, you know, when I had kids and stuff, we had, you know, the proverbial station wagon and family cars, and you'd have that would be my main car, and then the VW bug would be my secondary car that I had fun in, you
Right.
know. I would
Okay.
drive it to work and back and stuff like that.
Were
So.
you into, had you kind of kept one eye on Porsche as a brand through that kind of, let's call them the lean years in terms of
Definitely. I definitely
yeah.
did. And in fact, I had Porsche posters of the early 9/11 on my bedroom wall, and I thought one day I'm going to get there, you know.
One day you're gonna get there, and then
Yeah.
so with the 90s has passed, and you're kind of getting closer, and you know, was there a conversation that happened with you and a partner, or you and a wife, or anyone, or was it like this is a sole decision? This is no one's getting consulted by this.
This was definitely a joint decision.
Ah, cool.
And what started it is the same son, Stephen, who I gave the bug to. He had told me about, well, all my friends were getting Harley-Davidsons, and I was getting the motorcycle bug. You know, I was thinking, I ought to get one. And I'm driving my friends, and I'm thinking about it because I had bikes back in the early 70s. And as I'm thinking about it, my son calls me up. He says, "Dad, I found your Harley-Davidson." He said, "I said you did. Where?" He said, "Well, it's parked alongside the road over on San Jose Boulevard." I go, "Well, I don't know if I want a used Harley Davidson. I might want a new one." He said, "Well, about the Harley Davidson part, it's kind of camouflaged like a Porsche 911." And he
Nice.
said, "If you get the Porsche 911, you'll be around to see your grandkids and take them for rides in your car." And so it was just, so anyway, I said, "Okay, I'll go look at it." So I didn't for about 2 days. And then I go by and I stopped, and the guy, I met the guy there, and my son just randomly calls me on the phone, and you know, typically says, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well," and he started laughing. He says, "You're looking at the Porsche, aren't you?"
He just knew. By
He
that point, he knows you well enough, so he's
totally.
good. Yeah.
So his, so you know, he's an adult now, but when he gets excited, his voice still goes up an octave, you know. He goes, "You're looking at the Porsche," you know, as he's going.
Awesome.
And so then I was, and talked to the guy, Turns out he and his wife went to high school with my wife way back when. So
Right.
now we got this, association and kind of a little more trusting. And so I drove the car and I just loved it, and it was so much fun. And
Were you
then I
going,
said,
but when you turned up to first see it and you kind of pull up and you and it's parked across from you, did you get kind of the, I mean, I got this, my, when I bought mine sight unseen, but I was getting like the butterflies going
oh my
and you
gosh,
getting all of
yes.
that, like this could be mine, like I can't,
Yes.
this could be mine, that kind of feeling, you know?
And this was kind of the first time I had that feeling, that this was really
Yeah.
going to be one of my dreams as a kid, and then as a young adult, it's going to come true, And so, I did. I pulled up, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh! So it's got the staggered fitment wheels, but it's up one size like the turbo. So it's got the 7-inch wide fronts and the 8-inch wide rears. So it's got a more aggressive stance, and I'm thinking,
Yeah.
oh, this is good,
Yeah, yeah.
And he's got the deck lid up, and you can see the motor, and he's got the doors open as I drive up, and it's got a tan interior, which is one of my favorite leather colors, And so I'm feeling all those things you just described, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, maybe this could happen, So I take it for a drive, and it's just wonderful, and then I go home, and then I
Would you,
talk.
at that point, would you even known? Would you have been just like, this is wonderful? It could have been the biggest bag of spanners in the world, and you, or would you think you were still tuned in enough to have kind of gone, you know what, my head needs to creep in somewhere along this and just
Yeah.
evaluate whether this is the right car or not? Or would you think you were so carried away
It
by
was
the
kind of a mixed bag. It was a
yeah.
little of both. I was totally taken over by the mark, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this could be real. And then I'm thinking, okay, you don't know this car. But then I start having a conversation with myself, and I say, self, you do know the guy, he's got a good reputation. The reason he's selling the 85 Porsche is he just bought a 1990 black cabriolet.
Okay,
So,
right.
and he said, my wife says I can't keep both of them. That's what he said, So he's selling, he's got a good reason. He had paperwork on it. And it was a garage queen for him. So he had the car
Right.
for like 9 years and only put 15,000 miles on it.
Wow.
So he
It must
hardly
have been
drove.
pretty clean at that point, right? If
It
it's
was pretty good.
garage green and low mileage and yeah.
Yeah, I was feeling pretty good. So then I come home, and now I'm talking to my wife, and I'm talking to myself too, and I'm saying, oh my gosh, what if I buy this car and it becomes, just a cash pit? And oh my gosh, what happens if this? What happens with that? And she kind of sat me down, and very logically she said, okay, let's say you buy the car, you keep it 6 months or a year, okay? You drive the heck out of it, you have the time of your life, you spend too much money, but then you sell it. I thought, oh, I don't have to keep it forever, do I? Because in my mind, when
That
you buy something, you keep something
that's
forever,
right. Well, yeah, you're looking at your history already. You've got the bug and it's still around. So,
Totally, totally.
yeah.
And in that moment, I kind of breathed a sigh of relief, and I said, oh my gosh, that's it. So then I got on the phone, I called the guy, I says, you know what? I think I want to drive it one more time. I'm really interested, And he said, okay. He said, well, how about noon tomorrow? Because another guy's coming back for a second
Oh,
drive
that, I
too.
mean, that is just the worst thing to hear. If your heart's
Oh,
not ready to go, yeah.
yes. And so I said, oh, okay, and got off the phone. I looked at my wife. I said, that other guy's buying that car.
Yeah.
That's why he's coming back. So then I called him back and said, how about if I meet you at 11? So I got there an hour earlier
Did you?
and bought the car, And now, so what's funny is since we knew each other, we got this past history, I actually wrote him a personal check for the car and said, don't cash it for 2 days. Because I could get the money, but it wasn't in the checking account at that point,
Fine. Yeah.
And
And
he's insured.
he was cool with that. What a
He was
good
cool with
guy.
that. I
Yeah.
know.
Which, think about it though, if you didn't have that association, if you didn't have that kind of connection back to your wife and his partner or them, there's a slim chance that he might have been like, I don't know you. Who the hell are you? I'm not going to,
Exactly.
let you take my car without payment up front. So serendipity kicking in a bit there.
Oh my gosh. And it seemed to just all around like this, And so then, he comes by. My office was probably, oh, half a mile from where he had the car parked. And so we met at my office, and he signed the title over, and I gave him the check, and he gave me the keys, I was at bliss. I just could hardly even imagine, that I now owned a classic air-cooled Porsche 911.
So, on that note, give me a full spec breakdown. So, because the audience won't know, I've seen a picture, but I don't know the details. So, we know tan leather, or tan, sorry, not tan leather, but it's tan fabric, interior. What else? What else have we got?
Tan leather. I have done a few modifications to it. I just recently put Bilstein shocks all the way around. I put a strut brace on the front, which made more of a difference than I've ever felt on a car before. I was
Wow.
amazed. It goes from a car that's known for oversteer to just a tad understeer, which is much more predictable.
You'd never think, would you? It's a white car though, right? It's a
It's a
pure
white
white.
car.
Yeah,
Yep.
okay.
It's Grand Prix white. And it's got a whale tail on the back. The whale tail did not come from the factory on it, but the guy who put the whale tail on bought the Porsche whale tail,
That's
had it painted.
unusual.
Yes.
Most of them are aftermarket and they look aftermarket, right?
They
With
do,
politeness
yes.
to those people that have done it. Personally, my choice is not to have a whale tail, but I can completely get, especially in period when those things were like, look,
Yeah.
it basically looks like a 930 turbo here. So,
Oh my gosh, it does.
totally.
And all the people that don't know better, they all think it's a turbo car.
Of course they do.
And
Yeah.
I usually don't correct them, so
Why would you? What a
Yeah,
cool car,
totally.
though. So,
Unbelievable.
still running the same staggered Fuchs. It's the, you know,
Yep.
yeah.
Yep. The wheels are true as true can be. They're super lightweight. I don't know if you've ever held the lug nuts from a Porsche, but they're like alloy, and all 20 of them are about the weight of what five of an American car are. They're just everywhere
Unbelievable.
you go in the car, it's just over-engineered. It's amazing.
So now, so when was this? What year is this roughly that this all
Okay, so
happened?
this is 2005. This is May
Okay.
2005. So May this next year, I will have had the car 20 years.
Wow, does it feel like that at this point?
No.
No.
I mean, it feels like I've sort of always had it because it's a part of me now, and it's a part of my history. When my grandson, who is now 17 and driving, when he was, 4 and 5, his favorite thing to do was to come up from Fort Myers to Jacksonville and ride in Poppy's Porsche.
No, that's so cool.
But you had to say it that
You know what though? I bet he's got one eye on that, like a Gran, you know, like Gran Torino with Clint Eastwood. I bet he's
way.
like,
Yeah.
"That's mine."
Totally. And he does, and my son probably hopes, that
Yeah.
something will happen. And he was asking me recently, he said, "So how long do you think you'll drive the Porsche, Dad?" I go, "Well, I think if I get one of those foldable walkers, I can stick it in the back seat,
Oh, okay, fine. Yeah.
So it's kind of crazy like that.
Amazing. So
Yeah.
that's t coming up to 20 years with the car. But the like you said though, when you picked that car up, it was a garage queen with 15,000 miles. It was
No,
15,000.
he put 15 on it.
He
There
put
were at
15
least,
on it.
yeah, there were two previous owners. So when I got the car, there was 105 miles.
Okay, that makes more sense,
Yeah,
right?
yeah, yeah.
Otherwise, I was going to
So,
say it's like a once in a
oh my
lifetime
gosh,
car,
yes,
right? Finding that.
yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah, so it was just kind of interesting that he had it those 9 years and just didn't put many miles on
No,
it,
no.
which was kind of crazy. So the car was originally purchased in Jacksonville here from Brumos Porsche. And most people know Brumos from their international racing history,
Of course, yeah.
And it was purchased by a lieutenant pilot on the JFK aircraft carrier.
That's
And
cool in its own
he
right.
had the car for 5 years. And he was here in Jacksonville. Then he got transferred over to California. And so they took the car over there by, I think it went by plane. And so he had the car on the Pacific Coast Highway for a couple of years. So it was over there driving around. And then he got restationed back in Jacksonville. So they brought the car back.
Amazing. I don't suppose that have any interest. You've spoken to this guy or got in touch, or is he, you
No,
know?
I tried to get in touch with him. I looked all over Facebook and Google,
Yeah.
and I got a buddy that's in the Navy. And he said, "Oh, I can find him. I can find him, no problem." Well, he couldn't find him either, So,
Wow.
but I would love to. But the guy just that I bought the car from. I just reconnected with him. We hadn't talked in years. I think I saw him on the road like 7 or 8 years ago. But I sent him some photos and brought him up to date, and he was just gobsmacked that it had just turned a quarter of a million miles. He was like, "My car?"
Same car. It, you
Yeah.
know, it's testament to the mark. It's testament to the ownership experience. And, you know, this car's done a lot of miles, but it's still
Yeah.
going, and it looks amazing still. So, you know, if anyone's questioning whether, and this comes up a lot, right? Whether you keep a car like that and you don't put any miles on it, or you just absolutely you just use the hell out of it. And you
Yeah.
know what? Those cars are built for it. They are designed and built to do exactly that, as put as many miles as you like on. So it's
Yeah.
always a little bit of a shame, unless you've got something that is irreplaceable, you know, that they made five of and they're all numbered, like,
Oh,
okay, these
yeah.
kind of things, like, or it's a 550 or a 718
Yeah.
RSK or something like that, fine. Generic Porsche 911, Cayman, Boxster, whatever else, just go and use them, man. Just go and get out in them. They're so good.
Totally. I remember when I did the first brake job on the car, which was about year two or three, I guess. I'm in the Porsche Club here in Jacksonville. We have a very active club. It's got like 450 members, I guess, so it's a big club. And one of the guys in the club has a Omega Motorsports, and he works on Porsches, sells Porsches, things like that. And he had bought the full page ad on the back of our Porsche magazine, and it was a horrible ad. So I'm a graphic designer and a photographer and things like that. So I talked to him. I said, "Hey, what if you did the brakes on my car and I did you a new ad?" And he goes, "I could go for that." And so we put that together, and he put all new rotors and all new pads and rebuilt the calipers. And I went out, took photos of his place, put my car in the ad, of course.
Of course.
And then we had this full exchange, just bartered, you know, right from the get-go. So it was kind of one of those fun things, you know, when your talents work with the other guy's talents and you exchange.
That's
So
the dream, right? So,
it
based
is.
on that, are they still looking after the car when you need them to, or are they kind of
He
out of the
was for about 5 or 7 years. And then I hooked up with a guy named Albert Broadfoot, and he is a Porsche trained master mechanic. He was very active with, he worked at Brumos Porsche for about almost 10 years, I think. And he built the motor in the first Porsche 914 that Hurley Haywood won Daytona with.
Wow.
I know. And which is kind of, you know, pretty good credentials, you know, when you
That's
look at
the
it.
best.
Yeah, totally. And he's got this real good reputation for being the premier engine builder in like the Southeast. And he gets a lot of people that crate the motor needing work to him. He rebuilds it and then crates it back to them.
That's amazing. There's a couple of guys out there. There's a guy that work on 914s, 912s, but not the same guy, I don't think. But that's amazing. So, and how did you meet that guy? Was it just like a chance connection, or was there kind of a...
Well, I'd heard about him in town, and I just hadn't run into him yet. And then here again, doing some checking around, turns out he was in the same high school class as my wife.
No way.
I know. And so I stopped by. He had his shop in one of the airports here for a while, and I had to get clearance and get on the airport and stuff like that. And just stopped by and visited with him for a while. And he was very friendly, knew everything. And I said, "Well, you know, you keen to working on another car?" And he doesn't fill his docket up. You know, he works on, he can kind of pick and choose, I guess. And he says, "Sure, I'll take care of your car for you." So he started taking over maintenance. And so the car went to just a little over 200,000 before he redid the motor. So the motor was new at 200,000. And it kind of, he went through, took everything back to factory specs. And I swear the car has never driven better. It's just amazing.
What prompted you to kind of stop and go, actually, this needs a rebuild now? Was there anything specific, or was it kind of just...
Yes, he was doing, well, he was maintaining the car and he was doing compression checks. And number one, three, and four, and six, I think, were steadily going down. You know, they were all staying in a good range, you know, where we can keep the car going, weren't going to do any damage. And then it got to the point he said, "You need to start saving your money, and we need to do this sooner as opposed to later, you know." And so that's kind of what I did. And so he redid the motor, redid the transmission at the same time, and
Is it a
took
G50 or is it what chance is it
no, it's
908?
still one of the 915s because it's
915s, yeah.
95.
Yeah.
They didn't do the G50 till 87.
Right, okay.
And, I would have liked to have had one of those, but that wasn't what was parked alongside of the road back in
Well, there
2005.
you go. Did, so when you were rebuilding the engine, though, was there anything in there that you kind of thought, well, we're here, so
We kind of, yeah, we did. We kind of replaced almost everything. He actually reused the cylinders and the pistons, and we had them machined and recoated. So they were just like coming from the factory. And
Wow.
his belief is, he says, unless you're trying to build up a lot more horsepower, this engine has been an amazing engine for its life. And as long as nothing is fatigued, he's a big proponent of reusing, the reconditioned parts. So we did that. He did put on a lightened clutch and assembly, so it spools up a little bit quicker, which is kind of, and it the best way I could describe it. So when I got the car back from him, and once I got it broke in, it almost like gathers speed. It accelerates smoother and a little quicker, and it just has that Porsche feeling to the second power. It's just kind of great. So.
Amazing. On that note, sir, let's take a short break and we'll be back in a couple of minutes and we'll pick up on road trips and where you've been with it.
Hey, I hope you're really enjoying this episode, and if you are enjoying this episode, I have a very small request to make. I'm really trying to grow the YouTube channel at the moment, and whilst it's always nice when people naturally gravitate towards it and subscribe and like and share, I'm going to actually ask you, if you're enjoying this episode and you've enjoyed the Rengineering podcast so far, to head over to YouTube and subscribe. And yeah, let me know what you think of any of those episodes and if there's anything you'd like to see in the future. But for now, I'll head back to the episode, but just that small request. Thanks, take care.
It's like my wife's always amazed when wherever I go, somebody talks to me about the car every day. I mean, literally, somebody they want to know what year it is, they want to know how long I've had it, they want to know. I can talk about that on the thing, or we are, aren't we?
We are.
Oh, sorry about
You know what? Carry on, my friend. Go for
Okay.
it.
Yeah. So anyway, my wife is kind of surprised, when we go any place, whether it's a grocery store or something else, and somebody stops me in the parking lot. And they want to know the year and how long I've had it. And then they share their story because they either had an uncle or a grandfather or a father or a brother. And everybody's got a Porsche story. And it's one of the things that kind of brings people together. And my poor wife, because she's sitting there in the car. We live in Florida, so it gets hot sitting in the parking lot sometimes. And I'm talking for 15 minutes to somebody, about his early days with Porsche and stuff like that. And a couple of them have asked to sit in it. I've taken a couple of them for rides before, because they look that. Because there's sort of a community among people with these cars.
You know what's weird is there's a community amongst the owners, and then there's this kind of side community, which is, like you said, it's everybody that's ever had a connection to or an experience
Yes.
with. One of the things I really love is that very few people that I've ever spoken to have kind of not honored that or appreciated it or kind of made
Yeah.
those offers. You get the odd one or two that people that they're not keen to interact with anyone, and that's their prerogative. But generally speaking, though, for the most part, me included, right? And I particularly love it with kids as well. If kids are kind of like fascinated and they're like, rev it, or the people don't hate on the brand. It doesn't get the same reaction that some supercar marks might, whereas people kind of see it as like, oh, come on, man.
Yeah,
You know,
true.
there's not that with Porsche. It's much more kind of like the every person's car, there's a love for it everywhere. So,
Oh, totally. I had
yeah.
a guy, he had his son. I think his son was probably early teens, maybe 13 or something. And they were at the gas station. And he says, "Hey, can I show my son your car?" And I go, "Yeah, sure." And I think it was the son. And so he comes over and he's trying to be cool, because he's 13,
Yeah. Is this all right? Yeah.
But he's kind of, a little bit in awe like that. And he very, calmly says, "Can I see the motor?" I go, "Sure." So he starts to walk to the front of the car.
Brilliant.
And so then I said, "Oh, you're messing with me now, aren't you? Because it's in the back." So I was trying to hit, save face for him,
Good on you as well,
So it was kind of a fun moment. He kind of smiled at me differently. I think he knew that I knew, and I didn't, throw him under the bus or something like that. So.
But he
probably
loved
one
it.
of the best. Probably one of the best stories, though, when people have talked about the car. This is probably, gosh, 5 or 6 years ago, I guess. And so I'm walking into the grocery store, and this woman comes out dressed to the nines. You know, she knew she looked good, and she was whatever like that. She comes out, and she goes, "Oh man, I love your car." And I went, "Wait, she's talking to me? Okay, yeah, like that." She says, "What year is it?" This is an 85. She goes, "Oh, my boyfriend had an 85." I said, "Really?" She says, "Yeah, the car was awesome. The boyfriend sucked." My favorite one ever, you know.
Love it,
And
love
off
it,
she
love
went, you know, and it just kind of made that little story. So,
it. So let's talk a little bit about you taking that car from its 100. What did you say? So probably it's 105 when you got it, plus 15 that I got
yeah.
put on it. So 120-ish thousand miles. Well, you've hit quarter of a million miles
Yes.
now. Like there has there been. It had to be a daily for you to get that many miles under its belt,
It
right?
is. And it's one of the things I pride myself with. And when people ask about the car or I'm posting on Facebook or Instagram or something, I'll say, you know, it's an 85 with a quarter of a million miles. That's a daily driver. And that's the daily driver is probably what I get the most comments on. You know, somebody says, "How do you do that?" And I go, "How do you not?" You know, because I mean, like you were saying earlier, the cars were built for this. And when I daily drive it, once it's warmed up, I redline it every day. I mean, it's just, you know, there's no baby in that car at all. And so it's so much fun to drive. I don't have many bad days, but let's say I had a client and the deadline was crazy on what they wanted me to design for them and I'm grouchy or something. Well, I can get in the 911 and by the top end of second gear, it just is in the rearview mirror. You know, now all of a sudden, because it's an analog car, you're fully involved in the driving, you know, and it just changes your day and your attitude, I guess, you know, which I love.
There's something with the sound of those cars, those early air-cooled cars as well. I mean, it's not that early, but some of those cars, it's just the even the interaction getting in, sticking the key in, and you've got to kind of give it a second to kind of wake itself up, right? It's half asleep, and you kind of it's like kicking a teenager out of bed, you know, like it takes a while to get
It
them
does, yeah, for sure.
out. but then it's just, and then you get in, it settles down into that kind of hum, and then
Yes.
you know, and it's just, you know, like everything feels like it there's a mindfulness pause with everything you do, you know, the sound that you put the key in, like it all, there's
Yes.
a moment that happens with every interaction with that car, which you don't
Yeah.
get with modern cars. I've got a 981 Cayman that's really heavily modified and
Oh.
love that car, man. But like, and I stick the key in, but it's all so precise and clinical
Yeah.
that I'd love a classic Porsche for the part of those reasons, and I'm not even precious about being a 911. I'd take a 924, really cool 924 or 944,
Yeah.
but it's just because I want that. And I've driven obviously lots of different variants now over the few years I've been doing this, and there's something about those, you know, 70s and 80s cars that you just get in, and it just it's, I don't know what it is, and I didn't do it, probably didn't explain it particularly well, but there's a connection that you have as a physical and a
Yes.
purposeful connection between you and the car to get it going, and
Yeah, you really do. And
yeah.
it is, it's a seat of your pants feel. And it's all those things, you know. And when you've lived with the car for 20 years, like I have, you know when the temperature turns cooler, which air-cooled cars love cooler temperatures. Oh my gosh. Right now we're in like the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and the car is just screaming, you know, because
Really?
it loves the denser air, runs a little bit cooler. And but it starts differently, you know, because now it's adjust the fuel injection's adjusting for the different temperature. And so it sounds different. And when you're attuned to the car, like what you're describing, you notice that and you go, "Oh yeah, it's winter." You know, I
That's
mean,
so cool.
we still have winter even in Jacksonville, Florida. I mean, you know, because we hit freezing a couple times a year, and we have a while where it's cooler temperatures and fire up the fireplace, you know, and stuff like that. But the car just really comes to life with those things, and it just, I don't know, it's more of a brisk driving is the way I almost describe it.
So
So.
what does your wife, she obviously encouraged you to get the car, and
She
she's
did.
patient with you when you're talking to everybody else other than her about the car. But what's her experience with it? Is she just as passionate and kind of convinced that it was the right thing to do, or is she kind of comes and goes with it? What's her thoughts on the car?
No, she is so on board with the right thing to do, but since it's a very heavy driving analog car, she doesn't enjoy driving it. In fact, she's only driven it a handful of times. Like, oh, I don't know, last year I had cataract surgery and she had to drive us home from the eye doctor, you know? And she goes, oh, I know why I don't like this car. Because it's a heavy feel, you know, and it likes to be driven hard, and there's no power steering, no power brakes, you know, and it's just, it's a lot of feel and touch, you know. But she loves riding in it. And it was kind of funny when I first got the car. So one of the few options that it came with from Porsche is it has the sport seats, which are the
Oh,
really
nice.
nice Recaro seats, you know, that have the bolsters on the side, whatever. And we've got the car, and it's one of my early days driving it. We're going out to dinner, and I'm doing the entrance ramp on 295, and there's no cars around, so you know I'm getting on it. And then she looks over at the speedometer. She goes, "Is that 100 miles an hour?" And I go, "Maybe." She goes, "Oh, okay." But the benefit of the seats is you're not sliding out of the seats, you know, as you're making that curve to get on, you know, the entrance ramp or whatever like that. And so those help keep people to not be quite so terrified, you know.
So if you're speccing a car, if you're listening to this and you're thinking about speccing a car, get the sport seats or the bucket seats because your wife will be happier.
Exactly. That disclaimer, you could put that across the bottom across.
So what if it's an extra 5 grand? It's fine.
And what's interesting is even the torn up ones are worth a lot of money
Oh,
because you have to rebuild them. And shortly after I had the engine done, and that was in 2017, then I had the front seats done because the interior was really good, except for the seats. You know, they get all the wear and tear, and they were just cracking and tearing and peeling. And I found a company out in California that came real close to matching the interior color. In fact, most people don't even notice the difference. But the door cards and the back seats and all of that is still very good condition. And when you just generally look at the car, it kind of looks like they're all just been redone, you know. So,
But so you left alone everything else, you just did the
yes,
seat.
just the same.
Cool. Wow.
I'll have to send you, I got a photo, I'll send you that too, and you can kind of see how close they got with the match. And then again, so now we're talking about this network of friends. So my son, who got the bug, and he had a good friend. Now he's working for one of the interior companies in town. It's called Davis Seat Covers, and they've been doing seat covers since the 1950s. Well, he's doing some side jobs on the side, so I get the seats in, I mean the covers for the seats. And he comes and picks up the seats, takes them back to his garage, and he rebuilds the seats and puts the new leather on there. And I designed him a logo for his side hustle. So again, we did another trade out, you know?
Love that,
Yeah, me
love
too.
that. So, what else? I mean, you've got the strut brace that you've fitted on there. You've got the Bilsteins. You've had the engine rebuilt, transmission rebuilt, and the interior refreshed. Right. So,
Refresh, yes.
I mean,
And
that's pretty great so
also,
far.
it is. I also put a smaller diameter Momo steering wheel on it, which I tend to like a slightly smaller wheel. Gives me a little more leg room, and it just feels different
Is
for
it a
me.
Proto-TPO? That's the common one that everybody sticks
That's
on.
the common one, but this one's actually a little more aggressive looking. So, and I put it, these things snowball, you know, so the new engine, and then I did the seats. And then the steering wheel that I always wanted was on sale, you know. And I'm talking to my wife, whatever. She goes, "Oh, just go ahead and get it. Just you get all of this done now, you know, while you're into it." So she's a real trooper when it comes to that stuff. And she loves riding in the seat. And she goes to some of the Porsche functions that we do. And we take the car for we take it mostly for short trips, you know. We go to Fernandina and we go down to St. Augustine and down to Daytona on a regular basis and over to Tampa and things like that. So
Have you had any major trips in it though? Have you gone and done any big coast to coast stuff or anything
I
like that?
have not. I kind of wished I had, and never say never,
So,
you
yeah,
know?
you're not in a box, man. Just go,
Yeah, totally. And you know, I'm thinking, okay, so the car was over on the Pacific Coast Highway back in the early 80s, you know, maybe it wants to go back for a second trip, you
I
know.
think so. I think it's
Yeah.
definitely up for that. So, talk to me about the community then. So, you're in this the PCA. Is it PCA that you're a member of, or is
It
it
is.
cool?
Yeah.
And it's what 400 and something members in your kind of local area. That's a lot, right? So, is the
It's a
community
lot.
pretty good?
It's a lot of members. Turnout is usually a fourth of that, you know, for the things. And they do dinners on a regular basis, which is kind of fun. And they'll kind of feature somebody sometimes, you know, at the deals. And or they we've had a couple special things with Hurley Haywood. And then we had one when Hurley Haywood and Magnus Walker came out. They just were in this book together, and you could buy the book, and they were doing a signing out at the beach and stuff like that. And you got to meet them and chat with them. And both of them are just car guys, you know? I mean, they're in the upper echelon of production and winning and things like that. But they're Porsche guys at heart, and they're just so cool. And,
They're very different guys, though, right? Hurley and
oh,
Magnus, they couldn't be further apart in terms of,
couldn't be
you know.
further apart.
Yeah.
No, couldn't be. And yet they both have this same just love for the cars, you know, and they're so personable. So one of the cool things that happened a few years right before COVID is Don Davis, who used to own Brumos, and when he sold the Porsche dealership, he sold the dealership but did not sell the name. He wanted to retain the rights to the name because he'd built that name up, you know, all this racing, it's known internationally. And then he built a car
And even
museum.
the livery itself is like is an icon of
Yes,
the name, right?
it
So,
is an icon.
yeah.
And when he did his last racing with 911s, Porsche supplied two of the cars to him, and they came up with a special, because it's been red and blue kind of twin stripes down, you know, across the roof in the front of the car. But they did the red and blue with a bunch of 59s, which is his number. And Porsche did that unbeknownst to Don Davis, that that's what he was
Very
doing.
cool.
Those cars are just super cool. So he built this museum here, which is one of the premier ones in the area. And we've had some of the Porsche Club meetings out there. And I'm one of the volunteers that goes out there and helps give tours and things like that. So put you
Really?
on, yeah. So put you kind of in the inner circle with some of these people, which is just tremendous, you know?
What's that like then? So, how did you, when you volunteered, was this through the PCA? You just got wind of actually, that's a cool thing to do? Or was it something that you kind of planned and thought, you know what, I want to spend some more time giving back to the community and getting everybody involved? How did that come about?
A little bit of all of it, really.
Yeah.
So the Porsche Club was talking about it, and then he was looking for volunteers because he wanted it to be a volunteer driven thing, because he said I could pay everybody, but I'd rather make a community of people that love these cars, and they bring their love into the experience, you know, which you kind of can't pay for that, you know, when somebody loves a car or bike or whatever like that, you can't hardly pay for it. So that kind of became known. And then what else was kind of cool in all of that? So he's doing this museum, and guess what? He needs a website for the museum. So
I
I
know
get
where this is going. I know where this is
yeah.
going.
And so I reach out to him, and with the agency I'm with Fisher Agency, and he said I want to talk to you. And then I said, I kind of feel like this is sort of serendipitous again, you know. I mean, here I am a car guy, I'm a Porsche owner. I bought the Porsche from you, you know, way back when, theoretically, you know. And so I was able to design his first website for his new museum, which was just fun, you know.
Do you know
They
what the
had
museum website address is? What's the address for that?
it
If you
is,
don't know, then we can stick it in the chat. It's fine.
yeah, I'll send it to you.
Don't know
It's
about.
Brumos, gosh. I just have it saved in favorites.
Yeah, of
I
course.
don't know
Yeah,
what it
I'll
is.
grab it and I'll put it in
It
the description as well, so people can find it themselves.
totally. Because
Very cool.
it's a great that now this is a newer website that they've since grown, you know, to doing more things. So I did the initial one. This is one that somebody else has done because they got a new management there and things. And usually when new management comes in, they bring their friends, you know, and people they work with. So what it is. But it's a great website. The museum, if you're ever in the Jacksonville area, it is just amazing because he has most of his winning Porsches on display, and then he's got some really rare other cars from just oh, he's got an Indy car that is a V8, but it's two four-cylinder engines put together. Kind of rare things like that, you know. It's kind of, and the museum itself is built. He has a lot of kind of callbacks to other things. He's got bricks like they used in Indianapolis 500. He's got the fence from one of the other, I think Talladega. And way back when, I don't know if you ever saw earlier Daytona 500 races, but they would put some of the photographers in this Union 76, looked like a small water tower on the
I know what you mean.
you know what I mean?
I remember.
And it was a small little globe, and they'd fit, I don't know, half a dozen photographers up there, all squeezed in, you know, like this, whatever. And when they redid the 500 Raceway recently, years ago, they were tearing that down. And Don Davis got wind of it. He went down there,
On my
disassembled
watch.
it. Yep. And he brought it back, and it's on his the premises of his museum now. So
Amazing.
kind of a fun little story, you know. He loves things like this to have
Yeah.
just the background and stuff like that. And back when well, it's coming up actually this next year, when we have the big we have a big car show here just north of us called the Amelia Island Concours
Of
d'Elegance.
course, yes, yeah, world famous, the Amelia
Yeah,
Island,
world
right?
famous.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the guys come, it's only like less than an hour drive from Amelia Island down to Jacksonville. And they have special hours at the Brewmouth Museum. And all these people now that are coming in for that show come down to see the museum. And they're just gobsmacked, you know. And so it's this great relationship of getting people that love cars coming together, and then they can kind of enjoy each other's collections and, you know, things like that. So
Amazing. And how often do you do that? How much time do you think you spend doing it? Is it like infrequent or are you kind of there regularly?
infrequent. They have a pretty good assemblage of people, you
Yeah.
know, that do that, and so they every now and then, like they just had a big, they had an appreciation day for the volunteers and the Porsche Club and something else, and so it was kind of like all hands on deck for things like that, you know, the more, and but it's a great group of people, and you just, I don't know, and it's kind of cool to be on a first name basis with Don Davis, you
It's
know.
very cool.
Who has built this amazing, you know, history, I guess you would, you know, with Brumos and Porsches and stuff. And through that association, I got to meet Bill Warren, who was the one who started the Amelia Island Concours d'Elegance way back when. He did it as a fundraiser for hospice. And so we would have him come to some of our meetings sometimes, and Bill Warren would show up with stories. And I remember one day he had just gotten a new Ford GT40, and he got a special hall pass to drive it to our Porsche meeting.
Wow. Imagine if you said that, you got a pocket around the corner, dude.
Exactly. Yeah. It was kind of like that. And so, but he wanted to make sure everybody was cool with it, you know. And we just, we're car guys, you
Of
know.
course. You're not going to say no to a GT boy.
And to see one of these in the jungle, so to speak, you know, was just
Yeah.
amazing. And God, so he's been a wealth of information and influence, you know, with the car community, and it's just kind of fun. And so the Amelia Island Car Show was recently bought by Hagerty, you know, the insurance people.
I mean, Hagerty have exploded in the
Oh
last
my gosh,
10
did they ever?
years. I mean, they've got this incredible, really well done YouTube series now that kind of explores all sorts of different cool stuff.
Yes.
Social media everywhere now, events everywhere. You
Yeah,
know, it's unbelievable what they're doing. So.
it is amazing, and they didn't just buy them and take them over. They're fueling them, you know, to coin the phrase, you know, and they're making them better, and they're making them more accessible, and broadening their reach, I guess you'd say, which is kind of amazing. So.
I mean, for a brand like that, these things that can be misjudged sometimes, and they can kind
Yes.
of the essence of whatever it is dies with the kind of takeover or the ownership experience. And actually, what's lovely is, like you've just said, is it feels like it's fueled it. That's the right word for it, right? It's kind of it's all it's done is amplify it, turn it up to 11 rather than 8. You know, so very cool, very
I
cool.
remember back in the earlier, probably about, gosh, 5, 7 years ago, Amelia Island, Hagerty was had gotten possession, they didn't own it, of the 67 Mustang that Steve McQueen drove in Bullitt. And they were taking it around to the different car shows. So at the Amelia Island that year, they had the actual Bullitt that you could go up and touch, you know,
It's
and
wild.
see.
That
I
thing went
know.
missing for years as well. And I think the actual true one, I don't know if you saw it, but it was rough looking. It wasn't, they hadn't, at the time, they hadn't, I don't know if they have now, restored it, it was kind of a survivor. And actually,
Yeah.
I was like, oh, thank God that no one messed with it, you know, because sometimes people have the best intentions and then they
Oh my gosh.
completely ruin the car. It needs to be left, you know.
Yes.
I want to see Steve McQueen's handprints on
Yeah.
the steering wheel.
Yeah,
Probably had driven
totally.
it for 2 hours, but I want to see his handprints on the steering wheel.
Exactly. But it kind of defined an era, you know, because car chases had not been done like that
No.
up until then. I mean, we have amazing things now, you know, with speed and Fast and Furious and computer-aided design and stuff. But this was just done in the rough, you know,
In the
with.
rough and really long shots as well, with
Yes.
and you know, again, now it's like everybody's attention spans like a second or two. So
Yeah.
all the shot, again, from me editing video and things, you know, everybody
Totally.
wants amazingly like shifting camera angles constantly. And actually, if you watch Bullet Back, there's long panning shots of
Oh
like
my gosh,
all the way
yes.
down the road, and the car almost goes out of sight before it changes to the next shot and is normally an ink. And actually, that is, I think that's been lost. I think the art of that is lost
I
because
agree.
It should be seen as art as opposed to kind
Yeah.
of how can you overstimulate somebody and kind of give them too much. Actually, you don't need to. You can allow for a little bit of the imagination to kick in, you know.
Yes, because if the imagination comes in, I'm going to imagine it so much faster than it really was,
For
you know.
sure. Yeah.
Because I got a pretty good imagination being an artist and a car guy and stuff, so I can embellish, you know, and do pretty well.
Yeah. Well, it's not the way of the world, sadly. So what's happening with your car now then? What does the future hold for you and that car? There's no intention of selling it, I'm guessing. This is kind of.
No intention of selling it. I make a physical note not to moan when I get in and out of it, you know, because with
Yeah.
4.5 inches of ground clearance, you know, it's low car. And, you know, as you get a little older, you notice that, but it kind of kills the effect if the driver's, you know, acting that way.
Oh!
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking. And,
Yeah.
you know, and I had to go deliver some gifts to our grandkids today to their other grandfather and met up with him in, I don't know, 20 minutes away from here. And I loaded everything into the Porsche because I can drive the Porsche, you know, instead of driving the Subaru. Subaru is a good car, you know, but the Porsche is just fun, you know. So I had a good morning already and kind of
Yeah.
ready to go. So you know, we drive it a lot. It's a favorite way to go to dinner. Like I was saying, so St. Augustine is about an hour south of us here. And when we go to St. Augustine, because it's such kind of a tourist place and the oldest city, you know, in our United States and things, it has the best restaurants. And it's a great hour drive in the Porsche. You got on there and we feel like we've left the state or the country, you
That's very
know.
cool. Yeah.
And so it's a good refresher for your psyche and your minds and stuff, you know. So it was really cool. One of the other things I was going to bring up though before we forget. So all of this Porsche-ness and loving and whatever. So this is about probably 6, 7 years ago. So we've been blessed to be able to travel to Europe, you know, for different things. And my wife is just for sure, she thinks she was Italian in another life because, you know, we go to Italy a lot. Well, she's also a trained singer and she wanted to go to Salzburg for all the music there, you know, all of the great, you know, composers and people from way back when. And so I said, yeah, we could do that, you know. And then I got to thinking, that's not that far from Stuttgart, Germany.
It's not.
So, in her true fashion of really trying to gear things towards me, what I want to, she starts doing research. And so she gets us a couple of nights in Stuttgart. And this was early enough so I could get reservations and got to tour the Porsche factory at Stuttgart, where
Wow.
every 911 that exists was built. Now, it's been refurbished several times. So it's kind of like going back to the mothership, you
Yeah,
know? And you
yeah.
see all of this stuff, and they have the museum there, which is just amazing.
The
And
music. So I went there this year. I drove my car from the UK into Belgium. I spent some time at the Nürburgring and did some laps of the Nürburgring.
oh,
And
you
then,
did the Nürburgring? Oh my
yeah.
God.
I did the Nürburgring and then left the Nordschleife, which is the main North Loop, which everybody knows about, and then drove straight onto the GP circuit and lapped the GP circuit as well. So when you see a Nürburgring sticker on a car, I like saying this.
Oh my God.
Nürburgring sticker has the North Loop and the Südschleife, or the kind of GP sort of parts of the Südschleife,
Yeah.
GP circuit attached. I've
Yeah.
done both back to back, so I've earned my sticker.
You
I like
have
them.
so earned your stick. You get a
Yeah.
lot more credibility right now. This is
Well, that's
amazing.
it. And then
I
drove
mean,
on
every.
to Stuttgart afterwards and parked my car outside the museum. So I've got that lovely shot of the mirrors and the car parked
Yeah.
outside the front as well. So yeah,
Oh,
very cool.
man. High five.
High five, dude. But I get
It's
it.
always in. It's interesting because, you know, every car they rate, they always say, well, what did it do with the ring? You know?
Exactly, yeah.
And so for you to not only get to go there, but then to get to drive it, oh my
Oh,
gosh.
it's amazing. And I have to be honest as well with that trip. Which is actually all of this. I build once a year. I do a road trip episode, and this one's in an edit in the moment. So it'll go out towards Christmas time. But it was incredibly special because I spent some time. If you ever watch Band of Brothers, I went to Bastogne and kind of went
Oh,
to
yeah.
Norway. So I did some of the, I mixed in lots of World War II stuff and the Nordschleife, and then the Stuttgart, and then I went to Reims, which is an old race circuit in France. It's been kind of disused, but they got it on the side of the road. And then went to Rouen, which is where Porsche won their only ever Grand Prix, and then tried to find the old bits of the circuit there as well.
I saw that on TV one time. Yeah.
Very cool, very
Oh,
cool.
my
But
gosh.
your experience of going to Stuttgart, I mean, it's what a credit to your wife as well. You know, the
Oh
fact
my
that she
gosh,
was
yes.
up for doing that. You know, you
Yeah.
hit mixed stories. So my wife's the same as yours. She makes every effort she can to make me happy, and
Yes.
likewise. But not everyone's so fortunate.
No, we both got friends that lament about their wives, you know. So yeah, so she was just, I mean, and it was such a great trip. And she did the tour with me. And she said, you know, she's not a car girl necessarily, but she said that was fascinating, you know, because they build the cars now with parts on demand, you know, and the computer puts together this wagon that's, you know, GPS controlled, and it's got all the specs for the car they're building for Paul that day, you know, and the steering wheel and the seats and stuff like that. And we're able to go right up to the cars while they're working on them.
Amazing.
I know. And then they said, oh, wait, here comes the trolley. And you'd have to move off the track because it has this, like, in the floor, you know, track where it's following. And you move out of the way, and the cart would come in. And then they'd have all the parts to assemble that 911 there. And it was just fascinating, you know. And the other fascinating thing was they have a totally different perception of things. And over there, all the mechanics wear jumpsuits, for one thing. I don't know if you've ever worn a jumpsuit, but they're the least flattering thing in the world,
Oh
you
yeah,
know.
no, I have, and they are.
Yeah, they're the worst. But they also have beer dispensing machines for lunch.
Wow, there you go.
They said nobody drinks to excess. They just
Yeah.
relax during lunch, and they're used to it, you know. So they have a beer with their sandwich or something, and then they go back to work. And they all have a much higher better morale, I guess you'd say, you know, for
Yeah,
the
better
work.
well-being, happier workforce.
Totally. So
Amazing.
kind of fascinating stuff when you get there and you actually see, you know, how they're put together. And the funny thing, well, not funny, but I understood, when you get there, you have to surrender your phones because
Of course.
no cameras or videos going in there.
Of course.
But she was so just amazed with the technology and how they did things and how they treated the people and how the cars were handled. Just fascinating, you know.
Well, Bruce, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, my friend. I feel like I've made another new friend in across the pond.
Absolutely. I feel
So,
the same way, Paul.
yeah, I've really enjoyed it. And I can't thank you enough for coming on Your Porsche Stories for the Rengineering podcast. If you're ever over in the UK, look me up. I'm more than happy to take you out for a spin in the Cayman. And I
Oh,
am
man.
planning on coming over to the States as well and doing some, and a trip around a few different friends that I've made in this time. So, I shall let you know when that plan is as well.
Yeah, if you ever get near Jacksonville, definitely let me know and I'll
Well, you take me around
pick you up
Brumos,
in the
right? And
Porsche.
yeah, man, definitely.
Yeah, I could get you into the museum and you know and see the stuff there. It was interesting because we were in Europe and London. Was it last year, dear? Yeah, we were there last year.
Nice.
And had just the best time. And London is just amazing.
It depends on who you ask and where you go, but
I
yeah,
guess.
everywhere. I mean,
So,
you're spoiled in the UK because I'm from the Cotswolds, which is a really picturesque,
oh, yeah.
beautiful, right? It's the kind of when people from anywhere else in the world come over to the UK, they typically do the cities and then they'll go to the Cotswolds to see all the kind of picture book stuff.
Yes, because that's exactly what we've seen is all the pictures
Yeah.
of that, you
It's
know.
amazing. That stuff's amazing. But like, everywhere you go, it's good bits and it's bad bits, but we're very
There's
fortunate.
so much history, and I think I could eat for weeks in a pub. There's just enough stuff in a pub,
I
you
agree.
know. And we stayed at an Airbnb when we were there. There's this great pub across the street, and it was a couple meals and a couple snacks, you know, and a beer here and a beer there. But it was amazing. And my wife kind of prides herself. So we've been traveling since 1999, and she finds all these interesting things. And like she put together the Stuttgart part of the trip, you know, and she found out other stuff, whatever like that. And when we were in London, she found out about this Ceremony of the Keys, I think it's called.
Okay.
And they lock up the place,
The
and
Tower of London.
and they have this. It's a very sh you can only have like 15 people on it or something, and you go there at like 9:30 at night or something,
That's it.
and it's all this ceremony. And it was just so much fun,
I mean,
and they
that's been
did.
going since I think like 1100 and something. It's been going on for like hundreds and hundreds of years,
Yes,
that same
hundreds of
thing.
years, and we'll tell people about it, and nobody's heard of it. You know what I mean? Because it's not, it's more of a deep dive than what the tourists say, you know. But she finds things like that, and it just kind of makes us appreciate the history and more of some of those things, you know. And a lot of fun.
Well, thank you so much, Bruce. I really appreciate your time. Thank you for coming on the podcast, but also please do make sure you share any of your Instagram handle or anything like that, and I'll put all those in the
Okay.
description so people can follow the car if you've got one that's open for people to see anyway. But yeah, thank you so much for your time, and yeah, I'm sure I'll catch you up another time. Absolutely.
Oh, I hope so. It's been a real pleasure chatting with you. It was just two car guys
Two
enjoying.
car guys chewing the fat. That's how it
I
should be.
know. Absolutely.
Thanks so much,
Thank you.
Bruce.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. I mean, I'm incredibly lucky. I reflect on this pretty much every time that I do an episode, and it probably sounds like a bit of a repeat after a repeat after a repeat, but it's true. There are some lovely people out there, and I end up genuinely making friends with people that I spend time with, and they invest their kind of their memories with me, and that trip down memory lane still prompts some nostalgia, I think, from people. So lovely to speak to Bruce. If I am in the States, I'll definitely look him up. And likewise, Bruce, if you listen to this back and you are in the UK, please do look me up. I'm happy to go and hang out. If there's a car show, and there's lots of car shows coming up this year, I think I'm at all of them now. Then yeah, happy to meet you there as well. That goes for everybody, actually. So if you're listening to this and you're at, you name it, Porsches by the Lake, Porsche in the Park, Flat Six Show, Boxing Gas Megaphonics, you name it, there's a good chance I'm going to be there. So if you see me or see the car, do grab a shot of yourself with the car, and then tag me in that on any Instagram feed or any Facebook feed, and I'll pick that up as well. It'd be cool to see other people with the car. That the packages for those that for the my car effectively, so the Rengineering Cayman, they are starting to be kind of put together as well. So if you see that car and you're really interested in an interior design package or an exterior design package, please do get in touch, rengineering.com, and you can get in touch and sort something out along with any of the other potential design packages or projects you might want to work on with me. So just let me know and we can start the conversation there. I hope you've had a really good week though. Hope you're planning a nice weekend and you've got some opportunities to at least hang out with your car. The weather has just about turned. I'm actually off to Belgium this weekend. I'll share more about that next week and let you guys know what I was up to in Belgium. But yeah, that's me sorted for this week. Really enjoyed having you listen to this. Really enjoy getting some good feedback. So do again leave those likes, those comments. And all that good stuff, and I'll see you next week. Take care for now. Bye bye.